Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. Speaking to you live from Washington, D.C., I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed, and greetings to you, Brother Bilal, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Aziz. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, great, great. Doing good, brother. Doing good and looking forward to our program tonight.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, well, Brother Aziz, as you know, we just had the crossing of the John Lewis Jubilee Bridge crossing, and also we are definitely interested in having his bill passed. I can't believe we even
have to give
a bill passed for African Americans to vote when we're some of the oldest citizens in the country. And I have to say some of the most productive citizens in this country. And
yes, absolutely.
And again, we know that this is a voting thing. I don't see what white folks have the privilege to say what we can and what we can't do. In America, we have just as much rights, or probably more rights, than they do, because we've been here, and we know many of these Caucasians.
Right.
Many of them are from other countries, but when they come to the United States, I don't care whether they're from Germany or whether they're from Ukraine or whether they're from Russia or wherever they come from. When they get to the United States, they become white people. White Americans, and have the privileges of white Americans. No one has to say whether they can vote or not, because, again, they're white Americans once they get here. And I don't know what that means, but I know that they have, they think that they take certain rights that don't belong to them. But that's not what our subject is all about this evening, but that's something that we must be very aggressive about is our voting rights, because that's not you can vote on it if you want to, but it's not a matter of whether a vote passes or not, because again, as African Americans, we demand that right. And as far as I am concerned, if we can't vote, then nobody in this country can vote. And so I guess that terms no justice, no peace, have to apply, because that's what makes up our democracy, is having the power, having the right to vote. But anyway, our subject this evening is bringing back building the Black Belt, the Black Belt business district. And just for an opening, let folks know that the Black Belt Business District started in Alabama, and one of the main person that incorporated the Black Belt Business District, again, is with us, give me his name, Aziz. I just sit here and forgot.
Sam Harris.
No.
Oh, you're talking about Booker T. Washington.
Booker T.
Original.
Washington. Yes, Booker T. Washington.
Yeah, the original.
And it was Booker T. Washington that started the Black Belt business planning. And that planning started in Alabama. And Booker T. Washington, of course, was called by the Greenwood Business District out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, who had possession of part of that river of oil that made Tulsa one of the most richest, and still is, one of the most richest cities in the entire world. And that and that oil ran through the Greenwood Black District And it was again, just like Tulsa belonged to African Americans and Native Americans, but we know it was taken from them. And as far as the Black Belt, for the Greenwood District, because of their financing, many of the southern states, and those, and I say southern states because that's where it all started. Like I said, from Alabama, and you just came north, and all of the states, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, North Carolina, and it came, and mentioning those states because during those times, we had the sharecroppers, and many African Americans was stuck in contractual agreements as to where they could even leave the cell because they owned the they owned white folks. They owned them a debt, and they couldn't pay the debts because the crops that they would bring in, of course, the Caucasians would accept the monies that they bought in, but they would just increase the debt, so you could never pay off your debt. So, during that Greenwood business district, which started to loan the southern states, and like I said, Booker T. Washington was responsible for all of this happening, and these southern states started to pay off not only their debts, but they became they was able to buy and own their own land. Also, we know during that time the migration started as to where many African Americans, now that they was no longer under the contracts, so they could pay off their debts, and they could leave the South. Of course, we know millions of them left the South, but the Black Belt continued to follow them into places like Detroit, Ohio, Chicago, New York, Pennsylvania, all of these places in the North where African Americans thought they could better themselves, was able to advance because of the Greenwood Business District. And of course, that being Greenwood Business District, the Black Belt District named them Black Wall Street. So that's where the name Black Wall Street came from, was the Black Belt Business Districts that, again, that ran all the way from Alabama and throughout most parts of the United States. And many of famous, successful African Americans that we know was, of course, Booker T. Washington, like I said, Booker T. Washington, but also Marcus Garvey. And we know how powerful his business organization became before they ran him out of the country and took everything that he had. Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that started the Nation of Islam. Many of them, Malcolm X, many, many organizations, the Cotton Club. I mean, if you read the history books, it goes on and on how the Black Belt District was able to bring businesses throughout just about every community in this country. And history says during the time, of course, and all during that entire time, we was living under the laws of segregation. But during that time, they say that our most productive years was during the time of segregation. That's when our dollar bill stayed in our communities. And they tell me that dollar bill didn't leave our communities until it circled around at least 40 different times. So you can see how powerful our dollar bills were, and it created businesses, every type of business that you can think of, including banks, airports, I mean, you name it, all of these businesses was in the African-American communities, and that's what the new black belt, the new black belt Wall Street, that's what our objective is to bring about all of those businesses back into the African-American community. And Brother Isaiah, you know, we've been saying for the last 5 or 6 years that African-Americans need to become financially vested with each other so they can start building businesses in their community. So, again, with that said, we're going to have our open mic this evening, and we're very fortunate that some of our business directors went down to Selma, Alabama, to the crossing, and they're going to give us a wonderful report this evening. Miss Woods, I'm gonna be opening the mics up, and I'm saying Miss Woods is on with us. But also, I'm hoping that we hear from Brother Harris and any other members who was at the a meeting at that crossing. We would certainly like to hear from you and see what you learned. I see our mics are coming up, opening up pretty fast, Isaiah. I made my comments. I'm going to let you get a chance to say hello to the audience, and then we will open our mics up. And the first person I'm going to try to bring on is our regional director, and that is go right ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to welcome our guest on to another edition of the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt, Black Wall Street edition, and I'm looking forward to people participating in the show tonight, and there's a lot to talk about, period, but the most interesting thing that we're going to talk about tonight would be the crossing of the Pettus Bridge, where John Lewis and group crossed years ago and really suffered a hardship, a real major hardship. So looking forward to hearing that information and glad to hear that we got a lot going on down in Selma. And as a citizen from the state of Alabama, you know, I'm just glad to hear those things going on. So thank you, Brother Bilal. I'm not going to take up time. And welcome some of our guests on.
Okay, thank you, Brother Aziz. Ms. Woods, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm here. Thank you so much, Brother Elder Bilal and Brother Aziz. Honored, privileged to have be a part of this great movement. It was an exciting weekend. I was definitely a setup. I don't know, is Sam Harris, are you on the phone? Are you on the line? I got to meet him and his lovely wife and children. He's definitely forging forward to leave a legacy. We were able to walk into a couple of few of his buildings, and oh my God, it was you could feel it from the time you went into the city that the people, you could feel the cries of the people, just the destitution that was left behind and the fear a little bit of, you know, what went on in that town, like as if they were happy to hear we were there. I definitely had a voice. I'm looking forward to us having a voice, more of a voice, once we go back, because they need to know we're here. They need to know that they weren't forgotten for the struggle. We met a lot of the foot soldiers while we were there. Got to talk and interview a few. I have a few actual clips that I would like to share. You know, they're a little long. I would have to probably email them. Also, we did have an opportunity to sit in the service of the AME Church there, at the Brown AME Church that Martin Luther King spoke in just before they crossed the Selma Bridge. And I'm telling you, I will never be the same. I was able to kind of walk over the bridge. After 3 hours, we got to see the Vice President, Kamala Harris, take some pictures with the Honorable Jesse Jackson. Got to take some shots with Martin Luther King III, Ahmaud Arbery's mother, her the attorney. Oh my! It was a plethora of everybody there. Even the gentleman that went and ran up against the other young lady for the Supreme Court. He was there. He spoke very eloquently. Of course, the gentleman, Reverend Al Sharpton. You know, I have a new respect for him. I didn't get to see my friend Amelia Boynton Robinson. I just read she passed on at 104. So, you know, it was really an experience that you would have to be there to really understand what really took place in that town. And I'm hoping Sam will join us soon, because he's actually, oh my God, incredible man of God. To see his family follow his wife's support, BJ, and their two son, his son and daughter, they are working as a team with their parents. They're both realtors. And I mean, just what they're doing to create revenue and, you know, taking back what's rightfully ours as a people, it was an incredible experience. And like I said, it was not just us as the Hebrew race, but it was all races, all mankind, young and old, children, that stood in that line to cross that bridge. And I'm humble, because I didn't know what I was walking into, Elder Bynum. And I thank y'all for letting me represent you all. I'm a foot soldier for the Black Belt, Black Wall Street now. I have a new respect for what our forefathers had to really go through. And I'm a voice, but I am going to be a foot soldier. That means I'll be traveling. You know, it would be great to have places where I can lay my head, but like I said, God made a way. And it would be great if I can have finances to get to, you know, because I speak. You know, I don't do this just to be doing it. This is like going to probably my full-time experience. You know, I already know I'm a martyr, so God told me that years ago. So that means it may not be a physical, but I'm always being killed. People don't like when you have a voice and you're strong and you're determined and you're tenacious, you know, but for the sake of the Almighty Creator, God, Yah, he knows who he has in this season that won't be afraid, that will speak. I know my history. You know, I listen to you, Elder Bynum. I mean, you're a wealth of knowledge, and I submit as a woman, you know, to the authority that you've given me to be able to submit, to be able to have such a great honor and a privilege to be able to serve the people through the Black Belt. You know, we all have things God have us to do, but one thing he's bringing us to do, that's kingdom work now. You may have a lane you walk in, but as long as you stay in your lane, you get it done. So I hope that we can bring more people to this call that have visions. I ran into a young lady, Dr. Harris, from the Atlanta area. She has a movement called Black United, Black People United. And it was good to see her there. And most people that are really doing the work, they're going to be there, at least have one person. So thank you again for allowing me to come in and be that voice for you and Aziz and the other constituents in the movement. Thanks again. I'm going to turn the mic back over
to you.
Okay? Thank you.
And thanks so much, Ms. Woods. But before we go, anyone who has any questions for Ms. Woods real quick, we're going to just open the mics up, and if you'd like to ask her any questions, any curiosities that you might have about the Jubilee crossing, our mics are open and we welcome your questions.
Miss Woods, Queen Woods, this is Brother Aziz. I wanted to find out, are there any good food places available there yet, or is that in the making from what you saw there?
You know what? They have, like, vendors out there. When I tell you, they have the stuff they do with bell pepper, onions, mm-hmm. and ground beef. And they put
it all together.
But, no, they don't have, like, the restaurants. I didn't see anything,
okay.
but that was what our friend and business constituent, Sam Harris, is going to do, though. He actually is going to open up a coffee shop because there's a coffee
Good.
Shop there, but it's not really open. A lot of their businesses were closed. It's so sad. I mean, you're walking up, you're just seeing stuff in the window, but nobody's open.
Yeah.
He's getting ready to put in, and this is where hopefully he'll come on before it's over tonight, and he'll share, you know, some of the opportunities because they've got three buildings. When I say hidden treasure, I don't have to go into depth about what all is there, but they walked into some major historical memories, and a lot of it was white people that left that stuff there that I guess – when he purchased them buildings, God bless him to have that stuff in it, just some artifacts of history. And he's doing a hotel. He's offering opportunities for us to maybe put together a consortium or somewhat so that we can come in and have our names on the bricks, you know, as investors. So one thing I'm going to leave with you, too, because I know you, and I hope I answered your question about the food, but no, there weren't any restaurants
thank you.
Other than your stores. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you know, Ms. Woods, what you were looking at is the very reasons, and Selma is our beginning. Selma is the beginning of what we need to do all over the country. And the opportunities of accumulating wealth for African Americans, that's where our best values are, is right in our own black communities. And why do I say that? Because again, most of our black communities are ghost towns. And what do I mean about a ghost town? A ghost town is a community where you won't have commerce. You may have all the beautiful houses and the beautiful churches and the beautiful schools or what have you in your communities, but if you don't have commerce, you are still more or less a ghost town, and that's what you walked into when you went to Selma. You walked into a ghost town, but that ghost town, and like you said, the white folks abandoned the area, leaving nothing there but African Americans, that's the best opportunity in the world for us, because again, in our own black communities, that's where we can afford, first of all, to build businesses, because it's affordable in our own communities. And again, the demand for businesses, the monies that you go uptown or across town or wherever you go to spend your money with someone else other than African Americans, why not have those businesses that you're spending your monies on right into your own communities, the clothes cleaners that you go somewhere and have somebody to clean your clothes? Why not have the cleaners in your own communities? And they just mentioned the restaurants that we like to eat and entertain in. Why not have those? Why not become vested with each other financially and create these businesses? Because look at the amount of monies that these businesses the returns that it's going to bring you, simply because now you as an African American can do business right in your own communities. And like I said, during the time of Booker T. Washington, and when the Black Belt was being built, during segregation, that's when we all had to live in our own communities. That's when our most productive times were. As a matter of fact, history also says that we was very productive, and that production continued until 1965. What happened in 1965 and the reason that production and we lost all that production? Integration. When we became integrated and left our communities,
absolutely.
And that's why we are in the position that we are in today, living somewhere where the cost of living is real high. You're spending so much money just to live, you don't have enough money to put to go into business. And I'm gonna tell you right now, this thing about I'm gonna borrow money to go into business. I'm not as a financial planner. I mean, I just don't. I know sometimes
it
you
makes
have,
no sense,
but it just don't make any sense whatsoever. I'm going to borrow monies to go into business, because when you start making monies, the monies you're making, you got to pay back to whoever you borrowed the monies for from. And look how many years you got to pay this person back. But no, if you put the business right there in your own Black community, the restaurants and whatever, like I said, you're spending your business on car washing, wherever you're spending your business on, put those businesses right in your own communities. And if you can do it yourself, fine. But I'm going to be honest with you. I would rather go into business with a group rather than go into business by myself. Because with the group, each one of us already have a certain family members and friends and what have you that's going to support the business. So, again, we already have a group that is even on our opening day that we open our business up, because we are a group that started the business, and all of the folks that are relatives of ours, friends of ours, neighbors of ours, they all are going to be there at your opening day, and they're going to be your continuing customers. So again, we're talking about tonight building the Black Belt. Bringing back the having the Black dollar to circulate again back in our communities. I know for a fact that and Brother Harris, when you do come on, he knows to come right on in. But I know for a fact that Selmer, and there are a couple of Selmer is our example. When I say Selmer is our example, you have not Brother Harris, and there's a group of them, and they put their monies together, and what they was buying, what they said, was the block. So when you went there, that they was trying to buy the entire block, and they was like you said, they bought about three buildings, but they wasn't.
Yeah, they've got about three or four to now out there. Well, I know we walked in three that he actually owned, and there were some other investors he had. So I think, you know, what you were saying is really relevant, because we really have to pull our money together, and we got to come together. There's a lot of real estate in a lot of towns that are ghost towns. I've been through Hammond, Illinois, Indiana. I have streets, just houses abandoned, you know, so we need to not only just – the commercial is great, though. If we can pick up the commercial, it's great. Now they've gone in and put a historical museum there, $25 million. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine now what that's going to do to real estate in that area, you know, where he was able to pick it up for little or nothing. Now, you know, they have what they call appraisals. You know, so he's been telling you guys from what I was stated, overheard him telling one of the people that was with us. He said that he had mentioned this like 2 years ago. And we can't just sit around now. Yeah. We got to be about it.
Yes, yes. The opportunities are still there. But I am saying the opportunities of buying those buildings or trying to buy the block was something that we missed out on. And the reasons we missed out on it, because the Caucasians, after they left, and then they realized that the business opportunities that was coming to Selma, and one of those business, the biggest one, is that they're getting ready, the John Lewis Memorial is being built by the federal government, and that memorial is going to be bringing in tourists from all over the world. The Caucasians knew about this, so what did they do? They came back. And the reasons now, like you were saying, is that we can't buy the rest of the block, is that when they came back, they started buying it. And, of course, their property values now shot back up. So when you start talking about appraised value, there was no appraised value when the city was abandoned. But now that they see the value that's coming there, they, of course, they knew that the African Americans, and like you said, there's more than one group. Those brothers and sisters are going to make a lot of money. Yes, they're going to put in millions of dollars to renovate, because they're going to be those buildings that you saw. Those buildings are going to be skyscrapers in just a few years. And but one of the beautiful things that Brother Harris and his group did is they was able to buy the buildings they're buying right across the street from those buildings that they bought is going to be where the memorial is at. So when that memorial is completed, and like you said, they're going to be putting in those high rises that they bought will be completed. They'll have all kinds of businesses in there. Won't be any such things. There won't be any restaurants or a hotel, but we will own some of those hotels. We will own some of those restaurants. We wanted to own just about all of them, but again, we just couldn't get enough African Americans to make investments because, again, I don't know if they could see the value or they didn't care about the value, but I am telling you, the value is putting businesses right in the black in the black communities. Yes, Selma is an example. But every black community you have out here, if you start talking about commerce, every black community you have out here needs to have commerce in it. And sister, I also, you and Brother Aziz, both of you, was telling me about Stone Mountain, Georgia, is it? And the example of what they're doing.
Stonecrest.
If you two would elaborate,
you're talking about Stonecrest.
Stonecrest. I haven't looked into it. Yeah. But I know you two know more, and that's why I would ask you two to inform maybe the community, and maybe the community know a lot about it. But it's something that we need to talk about, because that is an example, and so these examples that you that is popping up. Is the example as to why you need to start thinking about grouping together and putting businesses in your own black community, because, again, African Americans definitely want to do business with each other. We just don't have the businesses in our communities to serve our the communities or the black communities. But if you two share some information on what you know about what they're doing down in that part of Georgia.
You talking about down in the Stonecrest area?
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Well, I'm gonna share a little bit about it, because I actually was on the ground when before they opened it. It's actually a marketplace that they took, I guess, an old Target building, and they remodeled it, and now they have streets named after different people that were actually African-American influential business prospectors, like Madam C.J. Walker. They have I mean, it was just, that's one of the more notable names. I didn't really know some of the other names that they had in there because they didn't have a Marcus Garvey. They didn't have a Harry Tubman. You know, it was like more, I guess, people they knew. But they did not have O.W. Gurley's name in there. I think they had one of the partners' names, Stanford maybe. But they had streets in there, and they had different businesses. They had one that was a tea party room. They had one that was like pepper sauce. I mean, just whoever wanted to come in there and open up a shop. They had paraphernalia for fraternity and sororities. I was able to walk through there and see that coffee shops. And then in back, they have people that I guess had like where they have the like kitchen, you know, what is it called? Like a food market, food court. They had a food court back there. Just different businesses. I got to go in there one time. My daughter came in, but they were closed. They just allowed me to come in just because I mentioned I was, you know, with Black Wall Street or whatever. So they let me come in and see it, but I didn't get to experience the whole vibe of it being open. So they're open this Friday, I think Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I'll probably pay a visit to them on Friday. And, you know, he has a vision. Yeah, so I think he has some more land that he's going to be looking at putting another spot on. I'm not sure what he's going to do. I have not heard about if he's got a rendering on, and you know, to know what's going to be the design for that property. But he's an African, I guess he's an influential African-American business owner there in the Atlanta area. I'm not originally, like, I've only been there a year, so I'm not, you know, real fluid with the people there, but I've met some people through, you know, the Black Wall Street movement, and I guess that's what they consider. They're more doing something a little different style. They've got a new Black Wall Street insurance agent, one of the young ladies named Kimberly McMorris, her and her husband. He owns an insurance agent. And they're doing some things down there. Like I said, Dr. Harris, I have met her. She has her own movement. She has a radio station, and I've been there. She's got a couple of, I think, a 10,000-square-foot facility that she does community work in and out of. And outside of that, I'm new there, and I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing what God has for me in Atlanta, but I'm not sitting still. So I travel northeast. I've got a tour I'm going on to Missouri to meet one of my state directors up there. And, of course, you know, I'm going to introduce them to Black Belt, Black Wall Street, because they're right now, we were spun off from the USA group. And, of course, we've got a girl from Utah, Nevada, and Texas, of course, where I lived 30 years. And, of course, my New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Delaware. And we've got, I think, Pennsylvania. We have a new lady out there that I'll introduce you to, Elder Bilal. And at least, other than that, you know, it's been a long week. I'm still trying to get my rest. That once you go into that kind of atmosphere, you can only imagine. It's a lot of oppression, you know. They say once that was over, that those people just go back to their homes. You don't even see them. They don't come out on the street or anything. So I can't imagine. I don't know if Sam has gotten on the call. I don't know what happened. I know he said he'd be on the call tonight. So I was hoping he'd get on and be able to share his experience.
Well, yeah, we will. Brother Harris, he's one of us. He could come and go. He could talk up at any time, but I do know how busy he is.
Right.
But at the same time, let me just share some information before we go any further. Those of you who may be on internet and you like to come on live and share, share in the conversation, you can go to our call-in number, and that will bring you on live. Our call-in number is 657-383-1372. Again, 657-383-1372. And you can share in live from now until 9 o'clock with your business, sharing with what we're talking about. All right, it is open mic, so if you'd like to talk about your own business, who you are, where your business is located, or if you have a good business idea. And, of course, we're dealing with a lot of political concerns, and we also address our political concerns, especially when it comes to something as important as someone saying that we won't have voting rights. And I know that's impossible. I don't think this country want to go there. There is enough violence and all that kind of stuff already in the world. But if you start talking about taking away the democracy of the United States, our fighting is what started this country, and that's what got us our democracy, because we fought for our freedom. Don't think that freedom will not be continued to be fought for, because no one is going to tell the African American that he's not an American citizen. We're more of an American citizen, other than the Native Americans, than any other folks in this country, because again, we don't have folks coming from around the world, and when they get here, they become black Americans. No, but the white folks, I don't care what part of Europe you come from. You can come from Russia. You can come from Ukraine. But once you get to the United States, you become a white person, and you share in on the white supremacy that is displayed in this country. And of course, like I said, our democracy will not be, especially the black man's right as an American. No one is going to ever be able to take that away from the African American. I don't think no one. So again, our call-in number 657-383-1372. Call in for your business or your political concerns. Now is a good time to call in and talk about it. Again, brother Aziz and Sister Woods, unless you two.
Sam is actually coming on. I was able to get him, so he's going to be on shortly. I think he forgot.
Okay.
So he's coming to the line, so that'll be good.
Yeah, he usually pop on up, but like I said, our mics. We're going to open up our mics. So anyone, also let me speak to my director out in the Oklahoma, Miss Williams. Are you with us, Miss Williams? Are you with us? Look like
yes,
I see you.
Yes, sir. I was steady talking, but I was on mute. Good evening, one and all. How's everyone doing today?
Great.
All right, great.
Wonderful. As my mom would say, wonderful, blessed. But I had to take a I had to inhale kind of deeply because I lost a very good friend of mine.
Oh wow!
Saturday morning. Yeah, she's gone.
Oh. Yes, okay.
And,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we've been tight. Her family they've more or less adopted us when we came out here, and that's been a good feeling. But, sister, I just been looking at all the pictures and all the activities that you, I'm just proud of you. And I'm happy that you were able to go, and I want you to keep that enthusiasm. Queen, I need you to keep that enthusiasm for us all, because and then at the same time we're gonna do something that or start to do something that we haven't necessarily have been doing in the past. We're gonna start training our youth to come along and do the same, because sooner or later that baton has to be passed on.
It has to be passed on.
I have,
right.
Now, because I have to be honest, my mind is willing to do a lot of things, but been able to climb a lot of stairs and do a lot of things like I would love to do, I don't know if I'll be able to do those things and repeatedly anymore. However, that doesn't mean there isn't something I can contribute and do, because I still have a mind and it's still working pretty good. So, but at any rate, were you able to attend any of the workshops or other activities, you know, to get, you know, some information or brochures or things that, you know, that you could share? I mean, I know I've been listening to your discussion, but at the same time, you know, in terms of us investing, some of us may not have the means. So therefore, we're going to have to get collectively a lot of us together. But at the same time, it sounds to me, though, as if it would be worth a lot of us getting together and still making an investment, large and or small or in between. It's time for us to get up and make, because from what I'm hearing, there are many, many businesses there in the Selma area that are available for people to purchase or open businesses in. Am I correct?
Well, let's
yes, there are.
Brother Harris is with
hey,
us.
Hey, Brother Bynum. This is Sam Harris. I just want to jump in real quick.
Got it going on now.
I'm in Chicago, so if you lose me, that's why. But Queen, it was great to see you in Selma this past week. And to answer your question, Sister Stone, yes, there are lots of opportunity for businesses there in the Selma area, but we need to get capital working. And, you know, as I've spoken before, that we got to stop waiting on the sideline. There's just too much money and opportunity out here for us to be waiting, because wait is what broke the bridge. We need people to get engaged, make the commitment, stop waiting, because our communities are getting left behind. And right now we have the 10X. No, that's not the answer. We need to 100X our opportunity. That means that we need to build businesses that are 100 times the size they are right now in order for us to be at par by 2032. So I'm looking forward to engaging with everyone. Queen, it was a pleasure meeting with you, and I'm glad you had an opportunity to come and see what we're doing there in Selma.
Thanks so much, Brother Harris. And just keep on, like I said, Brother Harris is one of us. And those of you who are listening, I hope you can appreciate just how busy we are. We're very serious about building businesses in all African-American communities. And like I said, Selma is an example of what we want to bring to every African-American community in this country. So, again, our mics are open. We welcome your comments. We like to hear from you. Our mics are open.
Okay, so this is Queen to answer Sister Joyce's question. There were really not a lot of economical opportunities there. There were more so people just, we could call it peddling or selling food. You know, what we got to experience with Brother Harris and his family was actually economical, because they were actually people who purchased real estate. You know, we didn't have people out there that sold insurance or talking about insurance. Matter of fact, we was at pretty much the march was about a political thing. It wasn't even about us out there really changing anything. If anything, we should have been up there speaking. Somebody representing Black Belt, Black Wall Street should have been speaking. We've heard Al Sharpton. We've heard everybody that got up there before and in their town. So I felt there could have been more of an engagement on like a town hall. We would have to go do town halls there, you know, because there's no way in a circle like that with the vice president that they really had things so locked down, you know, with security, that people that really wanted to bring respirosity to that community, which is shared wealth, they literally didn't have those opportunities for us, like Boost. And, you know, Sam, I was trying to, you know, point people that way, but until he actually gets those buildings finished, it's almost like you just got a dream. And we know that Selma is like a ghost town, so dreams are all around there. And not on any of them are really finished. So we were more in the spiritual side of prayer that God would allow us to get these buildings completed, start having people in them actively every day, and people enjoying coming back into the community and not thinking about the past. That's all I have to say. But like I said, we had something there. If I spoke anything there, I talked about Black Belt, Black Wall Street. I mentioned that, and I got not only the handshake of Reverend Jesse Jackson, I even was able to pray with him. And then not only when I spoke that, did I get the biggest grin from Al Sharpton. And when I mentioned Black Belt, and then I mentioned, of course, Booker T. Washington, and then I'm also a part of the National Congress of Black Women, but I was there to represent who I came there, and that was the Black Belt, Black Wall Street. So when I mentioned that, and I mentioned Sam, and go visit, see what we are doing in the community, that's what we're doing. We're doing Sam Harris and his family's vision right now, but it's our vision. All we have to do, like God give one man a vision, and he may give them partners. So we come in and we help partner, and we bring investors to the table so we can be a part of that. Then once we finish that project, we can go on to Chicago. We can go out to Tulsa and do different towns that we know the opportunity is going to be open for us, but we're going to have to be strategic. So well, the strategic side is what we need to be planning. Yes, ma'am.
Well, Queen, I know one of the targets, Brother Harris had, you know, and when he was first giving us our lectures, when he was talking about getting this thing started, is Black Belt communities. And we're they're starting it, the kickoff places, if I'm not mistaken, is Selma. And then from there, we are going to branch out to other, when you had mentioned the town there in Indiana a few moments ago, I had mentioned to myself, I said, well, I wonder if that's a Black Belt area. So first we're going to identify, and as a representative of Black Belt, Black Wall Street, New African Business Association, we have to determine if this community is a Black Belt. Is it within the guidelines or framework of a, is it identifiable as a Black Belt area? And from there, we're, and then, but with his guidance and his leadership and all, we're looking at Selma, and then I don't know where the next place will be, but it's no harm in doing our research and finding and bringing it to the table. Are you with me?
Yes. So that's what we're doing with the side that's coming in to connect with you both. It's called Black Wall Street Connection. That is a division which is more real estate, and the Hillionaires Club, is which is the investment group. We're looking to team up with Black Belt, Black Wall Street as the foot soldiers for the real estate sector and identifying Black Wall Street districts, whether it be Camden, New Jersey, whether it be the ocean counties of Pleasantville and Atlantic City or Newark, New Jersey, or we're going up to Boston, Massachusetts, or we in PV County, or we down
well, honey,
in
Well, let me throw in.
So
we're
identifying them. We just can't do them. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, let me throw in my little three-county state where your president's from. Yes. Because, you know, for our high school there, we only had four high schools there in the state of Delaware. And in our county, they're doing some very historical things because during segregation, of course, we had certain beaches and things of this nature that we had to frequent. And one of them right there on the ocean Johnny Walker's place, and they're getting ready to do some major blow. You may want to get in on
so
this
is that
as
in
well.
Delaware, you said?
They're getting ready to do some major renovations at Mr. Johnny Walker's place, as well as Rosedale Beach. Now, Rosedale Beach back in the day, and you know, it's quaint. I won't say small, but it's quaint, quite. But that's where Smokey, I mean, back in the day, Smokey Rock, I mean, for $2, you know, you get in there and Smokey, Temptations, all of them, Four Tops, all of them be out there crooning. But there are they are about to do some renovations, and this is ground floor levels. Of those two places, we need to be on top of that. And I'm sorry, I just want to throw that in. While we're considering Camden, Camden needs all the help it can get for a very long time.
Where are you talking about?
Philadelphia, New York, D.C. But remember, the small wonder. Remember the small wonder.
So tell me about
Thank
Delaware,
you.
Though. Tell me about the Delaware one you were talking about.
Let me just let
now
me,
the places is Mr. Johnny Walker's place. This back in the day, you know, that was where it was like a little teenage place where we could go and you know listen to the juke joint. And, but
okay, see,
that
I'm
was
from
the
Jersey,
color,
so I don't know nothing about
area.
Delaware. I just know the banks are there.
I hear you. Hey, hon. But that was the colored section of the beach. You have Rehoboth and Fenwick and going on into Ocean City, Maryland. But along that strip, you have several beaches. But the beach that was for colored was called Lewis. That's where you catch the ferry. The Cape May Lewis Ferry, okay? Now, in that particular area, there was a little juke joint place, Mr. Johnny Walker. You go in there, you get your little bag of potato chips and, you know, and some French fries or something and play the jukebox and get in there and do the chicken back or something. And then you run on down to the water. And but see, we used to have hay rides. See, these are things that we don't do anymore. We used to have hay rides down to the beach. And when you get down there, honey, all the people and the children, I mean, from old to young, and all in between.
Wow.
And, honey, those women, they had them fish fries and nobody's child, I'm talking about nobody left out, there's nothing new. But if you wanted a piece of chicken, you didn't go over and ask, hey, could I have, whose chicken is, or fish rather, or whatever. They just gave you some. So this is something that we, you know, old school hayrides down to the beach. But this is what was for us. By us.
Well, let
it
me tell you, we have a state director down in Delaware now. His name is Ronald Francois. He used to work for Wall Street. I met him through a company called B-Match, and we're getting ready to do a health fair up there in May, up in my hometown, Plainfield, New Jersey. However, he is the state director over there, which, of course, you know, he'll be coming on here with the Black Belt, Black Wall Street, because our first goal is to buy up all the real estate we can by going through what we call the Mayor's Task Force of Affirmative Action Program that were set up for us as African-Americans to be able to get jobs and do the mayor, because they have certain ones they allocate to us, certain land through the Land Development Association in all of our cities and states. They have to give us so much real estate, and this is the programs I'm going to be educating through my Hillionaires Club, which I said it was AKA Black Wall Street Connections. However, we're going to be affiliating with the Black Belt, Black Wall Street, because that's the name that people recognize, you know. So we got to figure out how we're going to switch things around, because I've already invested in all of this. We got websites being put up. So we're going to come together and make this work. You know, it's not about one person at this point. This is about us as a community of people and bringing in different parts of the vision. But I would like to see us have what we call a Walmart mentality. So we'll have people like Sam that does just the real estate. We're going to have people, I'm real estate. We're going to have people that want to do veterans. We got people that want to do senior programs. We got people that want to do youth programs. We got people that want to do health and wellness, mm-hmm. entrepreneur, economics, you know, entrepreneur. We've got a plethora of different talents and gifts. But now this is what we need to do is strategize how we're going to get the finances to be able to invest in this real estate that's out here. Because Sam will tell you there were some there's opportunities for some people might just want to have houses that they can flip and put inmates that come out of prison in. You know, some people may want to get apartment complexes. Some, like Sam, want commercial. So we got to, like, have compartmentalized talks to where we can basically make sure no one's left out. And then we have fundraisers and opportunities where we can bring a lot of these businesses, maybe some of the network marketing platforms, to the table. But we need to now start planning it and strategizing it and then putting it out there in the atmosphere so we can make it happen. Because like Sam said, we don't have a lot of time. They've already bought up a building, one side of a block almost, and they talking about $25 million. That's where they start bringing value to the community, and that's going to raise our prices that we could have otherwise got in there and purchased stuff back a year or so ago for $100,000, $70,000 three-story buildings. I mean, we walked into some stuff. It might not look pretty right now, but we can see he spelled it out so pretty that we can bring an investor there and they can see it.
Yes.
They can see it.
Yes.
He's organized. Yeah, so, I mean, with that, I'm going to let this mic go back to the floor.
You know, brothers and sisters, everything that you guys are just talking about and what Miss Williams, Joyce Williams, is talking about was during the time of segregation. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Some of our most prosperous times was during the time of segregation, where all black folks lived in their own black communities, and we all we had no other choice but to build our communities where it would be to our own people. Not coming from me. Okay, that we just got rid of it. But anyway, like I was saying, during the time of segregation, that's when the monies in the black community stayed in the black communities, because we all lived at that time in the black. But like I said, and when we lost our business powers, it was during the time where we became integrated and we wanted to live in some other community other than the black communities. And that's still going on today. Like I said, your black communities are more or less being abandoned because no one sees the opportunities of being in that black communities. But I'm here. And like you were saying, Ms. Woods, when it comes to real estate, you see, first and foremost, that's what I mean about having your business back in your own communities, because you can afford to build a business in your communities. The cost won't be as much because, again, that community has been deemed invaluable. So, again, that's to our advantage. And that's what I mean about thinking of ideas, car washes, clothes cleaners, restaurants. We're going to these places every day, and sometimes two or three times a day we visit these types of businesses. Why not have the business right in your own black communities where you're vested in that business and making monies? And when I say you're vested in the business, you start building businesses with others in your communities. And yes, your real estate representatives, your real estate brokers are your beginning. That's who you want to go to as far as building your communities. You want to go to those real estate representatives, the real estate brokers, because, again, they know the value of the land, and they know how to get you these properties as to where you would be owners of your own a law firm. You would be the owner of your own insurance agency, or your brokerage. You would be the owner of your health facilities. All of the businesses that we need in our communities, we should be owners of these businesses. Why? Because the businesses need it. You're going to go uptown and spend your monies anyway, and you're going to spend a whole lot of monies. Look what you're paying for rent in these communities. But if you was in your own communities as to where you own your own buildings, and now you're negotiating with your own kind, not someone who's trying to take everything that you have. When you get a pay raise, you can't see any advancement in your pay raise. Why? Because those who give you the pay raise know the pay raise is coming, so they already have increased your cost of living, where you won't realize any pay raise. Your situation is just going to get worse. Putting businesses in your black in your own communities, commerce is what's going to give. Like I said, during the time of segregation, we lived was our best time of living. Why? Because we own our. When you own your own businesses and you're the owner of everything that you have, then your situation, I don't care whether they say it's segregated or what have you, your living situation is pretty good. Why? Because I am the owner. There is nothing like being the owner and owning businesses in your community. You must have commerce. There is no such thing as advancement in any society. Almighty God says that believe in him, and he's the one who, he said, that gives you commerce, because he knows you need commerce in order to live. It's just a proper way of doing things when you're doing commerce. But anyway, I'm not going to get into preaching and lecturing and giving a kumbar, but that is but there are certain things that that is very important to know. As far as your beginning, and yes, trusting in our Creator and doing what our Creator tells us to do is a wonderful way of getting started. But like I said, putting businesses in your own communities, and yes, real estate professionals is who you need to start with. So our mics are open. I see that I do have another Delaware. Let me just go back before I finish up with Delaware, because my sister started out talking about Delaware. And yes, there are some wonderful investment opportunities in Delaware. And one of the reasons why the investment opportunities are so wonderful in Delaware is because of the huge amount of traffic that comes through that small state. Your best beach resources in the entire country. That's why you see the traffic coming all the way from Maine to Ocean City. And I'm saying in the summertime, from May until October, you can barely drive the hundreds of miles of that shore area because of the heavy amount of traffic that's going to all of those different shores that are located in Delaware. And but I also can tell you that I looked into business opportunities in Delaware, and Delaware is still a very racist state. Saying that to say, I ran into a representative in Delaware. I've been away from there so long, but the Delaware, the southern part of Delaware, what is the southern part of Delaware called again, Joyce? I don't forget. What is that? You know, you got. But anyway, I'm trying to think of the name.
Are
of
you
the,
thinking of Sussex County?
Sussex County. Thanks. Okay, that's my other sister. It just spoke up and I came over to her in just a second. But Sussex County, Delaware. I was there a couple months ago, and I was there for a funeral. A lady that was 104 years old, and in the town that Joyce was just talking about, I ran into a Caucasian fellow, and I thought he was a preacher. But anyway, the person walked up to me and a few of my friends who was at the funeral, and he introduced himself. And when he introduced himself, he told us that he was the Sussex County representative. He was the a state representative for Sussex County, Delaware, and his district was the Lincoln, Delaware, and basically the part that Joyce was talking about. And he asked us. That he introduced himself, and then he asked us if we had any political concerns that he could take back to his constituents on the state election board. And of course, my friends, they're basically country guys. They don't consider business that much. Just like and like I said, in this town called Lincoln. It's an old town there that they call Slaughter Neck. It's a part of Lincoln, but it's actually, they call it Slaughter Neck just to identify that's where black folks live. But the area is really Lincoln. And so, when he asked if there was any, concerns that anyone had, no one said nothing, but I waited for him to say something. They didn't. But I did. I spoke up, and I have the person's identification. I still have it, and next time you guys see me, I'll share that information. But I told him, I said, yes, I have some concerns, and my concerns were how big this, because I was from that community. And that community goes back all the way to the days of slavery. And I told him, I said, yeah, look how big this black community is. Why isn't there some commerce in this community? This man told me this out of his mouth. He told me ever since they built Route 1, and they built Route 1, I guess, back in the 50s because they knew those large beaches was all going to be making hundreds of billions of dollars. The town of Slaughter Neck sets right on Route 1. That large flow of traffic comes right through that black town. And the legislators, the white legislators of Sussex County, Delaware, voted in a law that prohibited that black communities from doing any commercial business whatsoever. And the reason they was prohibited is because they didn't want that black community having any parts of that large amount of traffic that came through those areas. Now you have a lot of little towns often, like Joyce was just saying, Lewis, Rehoboth, you got Slaughter Beach, you got Milford, you got all kinds of towns that's on Route 1. All of those towns, of course, but this town that's in Lincoln that they call Slaughter Neck is the only black town that's right on that highway. They're the ones white folks have put out a law, and the law has been around for quite a while, that prohibits black folks from doing any kind. You can't even put up a business sign that identifies a black business in that town. And remember, Joe Biden is our president. And so it floored me. And this is something that I've always said, that we were, as a business organization, was going to give this person a call and ask them, why can't black folks do business like all the other townships that has that large traffic flow that comes through that town. So again, but like my sister was saying, Delaware, it would be one of the wonderful places, especially during that heavy beach traffic area, to put businesses. And black folks already own their own land. And like and I said, they're already right there on top of that large.
I guess I have a question I wanted to ask, because I'm going to be having to jump off in a minute.
I wanted
to be able to ask about Delaware, because I do have a state director there. He never was able to do anything because we were, cut in the middle of things. So, but he's there. Matter of fact, his family are from the descendants of Haitians. I can't remember the name of the area he lives in. Let me see if I can find his text.
They have moved to Lewis, the very area that my brother is speaking of. It's a very lucrative area. As a matter of fact, Ron is a relative of ours. So I will get in touch with him.
Ron Francois
is another family member. So I will get in touch with him.
Really?
Twice.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And
that's him. He's actually the state director for Delaware. We put Delaware on the map for Black Belt, Black Wall Street. We put it like that.
We didn't have
a state director there. And he came on, and he's been going through a lot with his father, and a lot of his family members. But he's still in there with us. We're getting ready to put on a program, like I stated. But I want to know a little bit more about Delaware, because I went to school at Lincoln University, and we used to go up into Newark, Delaware.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We know a lot of the credit card companies have their bases there in Delaware because they can charge excessive interest rates. So, but I want to know about the black areas, because I haven't been able to, because of where we got set down at, or we're going to put it like this, everything was a little delayed for us for Delaware. I haven't had a chance to do the due diligence, but I'm interested in knowing about this area that Sister Joyce is talking about, because that's an area I did not know. I stayed right there at the Delaware Water Gap, which was East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So I know
mm-hmm.
it's not far from there, but I don't know where the black areas are there, because I haven't had yet the time. So we need to definitely get together on that.
Speaking of the black areas, that really isn't so as much anymore. It was more so when we were growing up as children there.
Yeah.
And also,
yeah.
I know you have limited time, so I'll let you continue to talk. But Ron is not from this area. He is from New York area. And so
exactly.
I'll have to fill him in on a lot of things. But nevertheless, I will be talking with him right away. Now, I do want you to know that another relative of ours has already bought up in the Baltimore area, at least up to 10 street areas. And they were in the Forbes magazine, as a matter of fact. So if you look at the Forbes magazine, you will find that that's another family member they got in there for among the growing young millionaires. And so here again, I'll be talking with them, because they have already, and I mean they're probably barely 30 years old each, and they're already moving into the
Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
Let me introduce her. Bernice, let me introduce you to Queen Elvis. Miss Woods, the lady you're speaking to is the sister of the of my sister who taught you. She's also a school teacher.
She sounds like familiar, but I couldn't really pull everything together. But I'm honored to hear her knowledge, and just boy, God is good. That's all I can say.
Yes, he is. And Bernice, Liz taught Miss Woods in high school.
Wonderful. who are just a family of educators. But, yes, we will now all connect together because there's so much. I wanted to say, and I know, Queen, that you have to get off soon, so I won't hold your time. But I want you to know
it's
that it's best now to go into the offset instead of going where the traffic flow is into the into this entire beach area, because as soon as you hit the beach area, you hit one after another after another. Your best bet is to go off, because even the people who are going into those areas don't want to be in that flood of people. They want to be where they can get away from it. So we're better off, for example, Joyce and Bilal. We are better off when you hit Ellendale, when you hit the Georgetowns, when you hit the areas before you get there, because that's what people are looking for. They want to be away from the madness and then get into the madness and away from madness. And that's good for us because you're getting rural. But we'll talk about that, and I'll be in touch with Ron so that we can now start working on that.
Yes, definitely. This is so incredible. I'm super excited.
And let me say this. Like what my sister was saying, those off areas, that is a gold mine. That's where we can put businesses. And because in those areas, the communities is integrated, but those integrated communities aren't doing it. I mean, in other words, the Caucasians in that area are basically farm folks, and they're not doing a whole lot of production that they should be doing, so it gives us the opportunity. That is a wonderful place for us to go in and start putting in our businesses. And as far as I am concerned, it's a gold mine, and the cost...
Well, we need to go down there and pay a visit so we can see what it is.
Right away. Right away.
You guys, when we were...
Well, I'll
when
be
we
up there
children,
in April.
No,
when we were children,
I'll
they called
I'll be
us...
there in April.
Yes,
those of us from Sussex County, they called us Lower Slower. But one thing's for sure, those people who have taken over the state from Vermont and Pennsylvania and all those, New York and all, they're not going to Newcastle and Kent. They want to come down to Lower Slower. So it must be something going on in Lower Slower. So, yes, those areas there.
Yeah, because
don't forget Milton. Milton,
Bridgefield.
Gold mine.
All of those areas. Yes, indeed.
And keep in mind, the ones who were there when we grew up are not the ones who were there now. So you now, if I can use the expression, you have a new Caucasian, because they have already come from areas that are very integrated. Mm. So you see what I'm saying? So all that stuff about the old South, which is what old Sussex County was, they're dying out. Because
that's
the ones
right.
coming there now,
it's
I mean, come from Maine and New York and New Jersey and New Hampshire and Vermont, they don't know what you're talking about because they've been around black people all their lives.
That's
and
right.
They're also along the Atlantic coast, and they're just used to people being at the water. So when you get down there now, you are going to run into the new Caucasian, too. Keep that in mind. Now, don't get me wrong. Gentrification is happening big time. But if you go outside of those beach areas and you start hitting the off-beach areas, you still have a chance to, even if it's no more than what Joyce said a while ago, if you do no more, and I want to tell you about Timothy's, too, if you do no more than find one big building where black, and, you know, we have all kinds of media now. It's not like before when people didn't know what was what. We have all kinds of media now. So when you tell people this is a place where you can have your hotel, you can have your delicious food, you can have your the whole shebang. Well, when you talk to that, and our people know there's a place where they can go, they're going to go there. And you don't need the building. I don't care if it's a high rise or not. They're building high rises now in Delaware outside of the city. So when our people know, and these young white kids too, and Latinas and Asians, everybody else, when they know that's a hot spot, they're going to be there. You buy the land, build that high rise, and let that high rise be everything from shopping to entertainment to food to your hotel rooms. That place was
and
so
that's what we
time.
Need. We need to bring back and more community activities for our young people because that's our next generation. And we can cater to also the empty nesters like myself, the 60 mm-hmm. babies that actually
well,
now we're hitting into, you know, our early senior years. Because we have plenty of those moments in our memories.
Timothy's existed in Newcastle County, which was supposed to be progressive, if you want to call it, but they were close to North. But Timothy's was a place when we were growing up as children where I don't care if you came from the North or whether you came mm-hmm. from the South or in between. Timothy's was run by black people. This was back in the 40s, 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, Timothy's closed down during COVID. Timothy's mm-hmm. always had throughout the state of Delaware, when you were traveling north, you had that wonderful mm-hmm. place to go. You didn't have to go to the woods to go to the bathroom. You went to Timothy's, and they had this delicious food. They had entertainment. They had the bathrooms. And when we got on our tour buses to go north, wherever we were going, everybody knew. Those black buses were piled up at Timothy's because they knew we had a place on Route 13 then. We didn't have no Route 1. Route 13, you stopped at Timothy's, and those tour buses were lined up because that was for black people, segregated. But did we care? We loved that segregated because we had the store, we had the bathrooms.
That's when money was
and,
made.
And listen, and Timothy's just closed down during COVID.
Yeah. Hey. Let me just say this, Bernice. I recently, you know, I bought a house That's up awesome. In Dover, so I'm up in Delaware now. After being away from there for about 50 years, I'm back. And I bought me a house in Dover, but I went up there about a month ago to have my car serviced. They have a Mercedes-Benz dealer in Milford. I.G. Burton, I know a lot of you still remember that old car dealership. But I.G. Burton's is huge now. I went up there to have my car serviced, and while I was put my car in service, I asked the folks how long would it be. They said, well, it'd be a couple hours. I said, well, do you have a loaner where I could go and have lunch? And they said, yeah, we'll give you a loaner. Then I asked the question, and I said, where's a very good place to eat? And this is in Milford.
Uh-huh.
The lady, and this is everybody in there Caucasian, the lady uh-huh. The lady told me, she said, Bynum, go where I love to go. And I said, where is this? She said, there's an African-American fish place right in the shopping center, right there in Milford in the new shopping center.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I went there. And I went there that my first time. I've been back now three or four times. But, boy, I went there, and I walked in there, and I mean, I was totally amazed how these folks have taken a seafood restaurant, real nice restaurant, but the
uh-huh.
traffic that was coming through there. I mean,
uh-huh.
everybody, African-Americans, Caucasians, Hispanics.
That's right.
The food was uh-huh. And then I went down to Ellendale, the town that my sister was just talking about. They have an African-American down there that opened a restaurant. And mm-hmm. I went to their restaurant. And at first I didn't know it was black-owned because all the most of the waiters and waitress was basically Caucasians. And I knew the owner. The guy walked out and I said, somebody mentioned his name because I couldn't recognize him. It's been so long ago. Since we saw each other, but he said he's at the restaurant. Matter of fact, that's his second restaurant. He has a restaurant in Dover, but the one he had there in Ellendale, and to see that type of traffic and all of those folks that was a mix ethnicities, all of them mm-hmm. there working for him, and they love working for him. And
that's
so
right.
I'm saying this is the opportunities that is not only in Delaware, but it's all over this country in our own black communities. And so, again,
yeah.
what you saw down in Selma was an example. But then, too, I'm seeing that example now in areas that in the old days, we couldn't get businesses in there. But nowadays, you can go on, and I'm saying that flow of traffic that comes through there is that beach traffic, and it's a gold mine. So, again, yes, Ms. Woods, and anyone else, that is a wonderful a place to invest and to start businesses, but that type of opportunity is the one that same thing is all over the country. Black communities need to put businesses in their own communities. And I'm telling you, folks are going to do business with you if you open up the business. So, again, the mics are open, and we ask that you join in the conversation. I'm sorry, go right ahead.
No, I was going to say, Ms. Wood, let us right away find out we don't have to travel. We now, with all this wonderful technology, we look at each other as soon as we hit a button. So let's have Ron and myself and you, and his wife will certainly get in. You know, Val is going to jump right in on this.
I haven't met the missus yet because he's been, like I said, through COVID, it's been so much. And he's finally getting back to work because dad is finally home and we just, you know, I just was so grateful that life was happening, you know, and we were gotten through it through prayer.
Well,
so now that we're connected with you, Bernice, we can definitely help him get things moving forward there. I had given them each assignment to go to their mayor's office, find out about how to get a procurement license. I was going to have them start with just one building. That we would take down through the Land Development Association, but they would have to go through the mayor's office. They would set up their businesses. So I had a whole program for the state directors that I'm still working on. New York is probably the most advanced because it's a husband and wife team out in Mount Vernon. They already have a connection with the mayor there, and I've been able to be blessed to meet them and the president over the Veterans Affairs also. We're adopting a program she had before she was promoted. So it's a lot of stuff we've already been working on. We just now that we're connecting with you, Bernice, there, that's going to help a lot. And once we set a plan in place, that's why we was using the Selma project to kind of like build a master plan, then we can go in and take down the rest. But I do have some where we can pick up some free real estate because it is to us. It's just that we have to be in the right place at the right time to get it. And I think once I come up there, I think I'm going to make a – even if we do a Zoom, we need to at least be able to – like I'm doing with the Greens. I'm in, on the ground with them. I've been out there twice. I'm meeting a lot of their businesses in the community. And Mount Vernon is a black town, and they've got a huge history because that's where the presidents – used to camp, like Washington and Andrew Jackson. That's where their station in Fort Worth. And so we have a lot of black people that are there, the New Rochelle, all of that area. It's amazing,
well,
though, when you look at
that's
history.
That's good. And Bill and my husband and I are going to visit Val and Ron soon anyway. We want to now have a chance to just soak in that wonderful bay and ocean breeze. And they've been dying for us to get there, but the weather's been crazy. So we're going to visit there soon. So I won't say anything except on the side.
Where are you located now, Bernice? What a town.
We are – I'm in Newark. And so Newark Fair. So that's Newcastle County. But listen, Delaware is only 90 miles long. So
that's what I'm saying.
It's a powerful state.
I'm out on the other side, near Pennsylvania. One thing about Delaware, though, it sits in the middle of everything. So you got New Jersey on one side, Pennsylvania is like in a little cut.
It's the best spot in the world, in this whole country. Delaware is the place to be because you just shoot the
blue. I want some blue crab when I come there, so just know that.
Oh, okay.
Blue crab.
No problem.
We've got some good places for you to go. And listen, you don't have to go just to Delaware because we're at the line to Chesapeake. So you're right at Merlin. And if you want to get good seafood, you've got to get here because we are just –
my Lord.
I'm, I'm no more than maybe
I love the Northeast. I kid you not. I don't even know why I'm down here. I'm actually in Jacksonville, Florida right now. I'll be in Atlanta tomorrow.
We're going to spoil you then because you have the hub here. We'll take you to Chesapeake and then down to the beaches. You'll have fun.
Yes.
Let's have fun. You know, let's buy real estate, get very wealthy, and have some fun. I think that's all about the rich and famous, they used to call it, right?
Get
a lot of real estate, then we can enjoy. But we got to get the financial side in place because there's no need to have a bunch of real estate and you don't have an exit strategy if something happens. So we're also working on some programs so you'll know where we were going as a team and where we can go as a group and as a team, because it takes teamwork to make the dream work. We were buying up businesses that where the owners were actually retiring but didn't have heirs to leave them to. So we would go in. I have a colleague that I'm doing some training with, and we're going to buy a first African-American funeral home. So we're going to be able to buy up. There's a lot of different businesses that go out of business every year, because especially those that are operating and making a lot of money. I think this first one we've got up in Mount Vernon, he's been in business for 50 years. His children are like my children. They didn't want to do real estate, so I just pretty much still do the same business I left years ago to leave along and give to my children. They didn't want to do it, so I still have it, but it's pretty much a quarter of the size now, whereas he has a business that's still flourishing, but yet his children don't want it, and he's maybe 90 years old in September, black-owned business. So, you know, not only will we be able to leave his heirs still money, but we can go in there and have people that want to become morticians or own a spot, and we help transition him to retire, but yet have someone that will still love and take care of what he built all those years. And we can from that spot to another spot. We can do trucking, logistics. I mean, we're looking at different businesses right now that we can go in and purchase. And we don't even have to use our own money. So once I get the first one done, I'll let you know. That's something we're going to be, you know, having like forums where we can train people that want to go in those classes. Of course, there's a fee that we'll charge, but at least they'll be able to walk into something that we can start now owning businesses and going inside with people that actually may not be our color. And we will be that color business at that point if we pick it up from them.
The new generations aren't into that old foolishness. But I wanted to ask you something. Ms. Williams brought this up. When it comes to funding, I mean, from around this country, is there any way, or do you all even want to consider funding, if you know someone, I don't care if it's a bank or institution or whatever, where people would make donations? Remember that museum, the Black History Museum there in D.C., they got their building erected there because they just got all that funding from people who were sitting in their homes from California to Delaware and east to west. So
we can get the funding. The money's there for us to get. We just need a building and a business plan, and then people don't mind giving to those opportunities. I'm down in Jacksonville, Florida now, and Jacksonville is actually 80% black. I didn't know that. And then we have a lot of the Seminole Indians here. As a matter of fact, down in Old St. Augustine, they have a cemetery that's full of our Seminole Indians. But what about doing a museum for those black African-American Indians? Because they don't own any land here. It's pitiful. I'm just saying.
Listen,
sad.
You're talking Oklahoma now.
Man.
You're talking Oklahoma now. Ms. Williams will tell you that when you talk about all of these natives, Oklahoma is loaded with them. And I was blessed to go to there. Well, see, they have a museum there in Oklahoma City.
See, they don't have one here at all. They have nothing for us as African-American Indians, because my grandfather was full-blood Seminole. So I just learned of that history being here for a women's retreat the other week. I haven't even left. I'm like, I don't want to go back to Atlanta. So
Well, in addition, I wanted to say, as it pertains to the Native American or Indian,
yes,
anything Indian will be located in a town or a city called Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Mm.
That's
okay.
Where you're going to find what is known as the BIA, the
okay.
Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And that's like
okay.
our, what is that, archives building there in D.C.?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All the records are kept in Muskogee, Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
for Native
okay.
Americans. So
yeah.
if they don't have it there, the Seminole, it doesn't matter. Because, see, that's one of the five civilized tribes.
Yeah.
So they got
so
the half of them.
You know what? If anything, I need to come see you, Miss Williams, Sister Williams. I need to come see you.
You know how long my door is open?
That's the roots. Well, you know what? I'm going to cut my trip, and I'm going to come that way this month and surprise you.
Oh, we'll
and so
see.
That way
but,
we can meet up. Because I
just let me know.
Think,
just let me know so I can get you something to eat.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't need no food, but anyway. I'm a
well, you know, that's gotta have your nourishment. Gotta have your nourishment, my sister.
We
but I hear what you're saying.
Gotta
no,
gotta
you don't need
it.
An invitation. Just let me know you're on your way.
Okay, I'm going to definitely do that because that right there would be really the experience I need to be able to carry mm-hmm. the mantle God gave me to do within this organization because
yeah,
that's where everything
that's where you
began.
Find it, Muskogee.
Yep.
That's where
so
let me
see if I can book me a
DC.
Flight. I'm going to see if I can book me a flight next weekend to come out and see you.
Okay.
I know I've got to be in Jersey April. Well, I was going to go the 29th of the month of March, and then I'll be out to Jersey until the 4th. I have a lady in Atlanta City, Angela Burton. She does a lot in the nonprofit area with young children. And then I have a lady out in Camden. She has an organization for children too. You know, my mantle is children, the young people. So we're also doing youth academies too, Miss Williams. So remember, the Epic thing is now free, okay? So it's now free. You don't have to pay to learn how to trade now. Coach Max has now opened up a new trade academy.
Mm-hmm.
She was on here last week, and we're also doing a
yeah.
hedge fund. So we got a lot of opportunities so that we can, you know, what we call in our age, it's not really what they call it when your money has to double itself. It's the word starts with a C, compound. Yeah, we need to compound our finances now. So we have a lot of programs we're going to be bringing to the table so that way we can educate ourselves and our children because in a few everybody, we will not have dollar bills. They'll just be considered a dollar bill that we'll put in like a little thing. Remember when we used to get them little $2 bills and the little $5 bills that had the little red on them and they were ones we kept for the kids and put up and yeah, all that stuff is going to be history. So we got to mm-hmm. learn the cryptocurrency market. It's happening. My friend, she just retired from Wells Fargo. At 15 years, I mean, you're no longer going to need tailors or bankers. I mean, it's really going digital. And the New World Order is in effect with Russia. Everything that's going on now is the exchange of how we do money. And we've got to know, and we're working to make teach master traders so that they can help teach our young people so our young people can earn own the bank, at least
mm-hmm.
learn about money. Because half of them
mm-hmm.
don't even know about money.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing on the game so much now that they actually don't even know how to count money.
That's right.
They don't know how to write a check. There won't even be no checks.
Put it in the form of a game.
We're going to have a gaming system put together. It's going to be a gaming system put together for them so that way at least they can learn. But we've got young people trading at the age of 7, remember? They got children
oh, yeah.
that's trading now. As a matter of fact, the young lady that was on the call, her daughter is four years old and know how to read charts already, the Forex charts. I don't know.
Right.
She know how to. Yeah, so we're really about it right now with Black Belt at Wall Street. We're going to make a name. People are going to know us. Like I said, I'm a foot soldier. I'm on the ground spreading the news that we are here. And I believe the people are excited about it, and they want to know what we're doing. We got to get our website revamped. Next month is Women's Month. Elder Bynum and Brother Aziz will be also on their Ramadan. So all of us women, we need to come together and try to put this forum together so that way we're still making things happen for our brothers that have to go into consecration. And, from there, I'm going to give you back the mic. But I'm excited. I'm super excited to be on the call with everybody tonight. I didn't even get on my next call, so.
And I'm going to send you a link for the BIA, sis.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, let me just say.
Let me see what my ticket will be to get there.
All right. Anyway, brothers and sisters.
Are you in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
I'm in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, okay. So what's the airport there?
Will Rogers, World Airport.
Okay.
All right. Well, okay, brothers and sisters, interesting conversation, and many different ideas was being presented, but rather than trying to present many, many ideas, we got to start a business, or we got to start businesses. And the way that we're going to start businesses is with money. You're going to have mm-hmm. money. And I am retired, of course. I'm retired and I'm sitting back living my retirement life. But that doesn't mean that I'm not willing to invest. I mean, if I am going to sit here and say I am the principal director of Black Belt Wall Street, and if I am going to sit here and talk about we need to have businesses in our communities, I can't say that I'm retired and I'm not participating. That would be very hypocritical of me. So in saying that, to say, brothers and sisters, I've always said, let's start businesses in our Black communities, and I don't identify the communities. I identify what are we going to do. And saying that to say, I've always said that put together 100 of us, and each one of us come up with $10,000, which I would, as a retiree, I would be more than happy to do. My only thing is that I need to know what businesses are we going to open. And but become invested with the Black communities to open a business, I don't mind doing it, and it's not a charitable thing. I don't mind opening a business in the Black community because I know there are no businesses in the community. And as a financial planner, that's what I'm looking for, is investment opportunities. And investment opportunities is where I can see that there is room for growth. And the reason there is room for growth, because there is no growth. And in the Black communities, our businesses, there is nothing but room for growth. Why? Because there are no businesses in the communities. So I don't care what, we'll put a car wash in the communities, put a grocery store, a restaurant, or a hotel, a movie theater. All of those businesses are businesses that African Americans, as we speak right now, are spending their monies on. And so I am saying, let's put the business in the Black communities. I don't care whether it's in Selma, whether it's in Florida, whether it's in Delaware, Jersey. It makes no difference. All the Black communities in this country needs business activities. Brother Aziz and I went to, was it in Charlotte, North Carolina, about 4 or 5 years ago, Brother Aziz. And when we got there, we got on the... internet, and we put a call out and asked the internet the internet service is on our telephone. In Charlotte, we are looking for an African-American restaurant. The thing went silent on us. Went totally silent. But then, too, when we asked for another restaurant other than the African-American restaurant, it told us all kinds of restaurants we could go to. So, again, and this is in a great big city like Charlotte. So brothers and sisters, we need businesses in our community. But the only way we're going to put businesses in our community, we have to invest in these businesses. And if one person can't do it, let's do it jointly, because there are millions and millions of dollars to be made. Because, again, every black community you go in, most of them are ghost towns. Beautiful communities, but no businesses. So, again, yes, go right ahead. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Wilmington is I mean, the city of Wilmington, not the whole big conglomerate. But Wilmington I have two places that I want us to look into that I know could grow. If I'm not a business person, you guys are the business person, but at least I can show you two places that are very prominent in Wilmington itself. It's not downtown, which is even better, but it's right off the main courses of where you would go to super shopping in more suburban areas. But these two places are right at the, you might as well say in Wilmington, but they are away from Wilmington enough for you to really build a nice business. One is an entire shopping center that very much borders the black communities, but might as well say they're very mixed communities now, but it's a lot of poor black people with money in that area. And it is a shopping center that has been abandoned for years. So that would be
a... And, you know, Bernice, you know what they're saying? You know this to be a fact, as a real estate person, when you go to a building and that building has been abandoned, no one has tried to buy it, that is a business that you can buy cheap.
That's right.
All the indications that you can buy this building cheap because, again, it's been sitting there for so long. I know when I went to buy my house, if I saw a house that was on the market and has been on the market for more than 30 days, I'm not going to pay the asking price for the house because nobody else is paying it. I am going to make an offer lower, and I'm going to tell you I will get that house. Brothers and sisters, so that's what I mean about
that. I have to show you that I know could be really good to look into for what we're talking about because you can put many businesses in there because yet they're all one.
Can I share something, too?
That may be the place that we need to come when we come to Delaware. That may be the place that we need to visit because there's no sense in coming anywhere if we're just going to come just to shake hands and not get anything.
That's right. No, as soon as you get here, we're getting in my van and we're going to both places because and perhaps get down state too so we can I know perfectly well Ron and Val will welcome us with open arms because you know how they are. Queen, they're just go-getters.
Yeah.
We want to be very aware, and we're very embracing of what's going on with his father. But at the same time, we know Ron, and we know that he's getting that son ready for college, too.
Okay. And he got basketball and all kinds of other stuff. I wanted to share something that I had already been enacting within the culture of our groups. We literally, those abandoned buildings, I've been actually making them go fine. I mean, I've asked them to anyway. I don't know if they've done anything because that's why I'm asking God for laborers, people that really want this, because I'm not looking to macromanage anybody. If I tell you I know how to help you get that building, then go get it. So in essence, those two buildings there, if they've been vacant, those are the buildings that the government owns and that they're allowing us as minorities, as they call it, which we're really the majority, but we'll take it, they allow us to get a procurement license, and we can get those buildings for little or nothing. Matter of fact, if we have a nonprofit in place, they will give them to us, and we can get a supersedious grant to go on that building to make sure, or just get a grant, we're going to say, so long as it doesn't have, like, those supersedious clauses in it, we'll say, to where you can't do upgrades. So we need to be able to come together and get those buildings and then go to the mayor's office and see what's going on with them and get the procurement license. That way at least you can get those buildings because they're sitting there for a reason. And like you said, if you want them, then I can show you how to get them because I've already been talking to the people about it.
And the beautiful thing is right across from that shopping center, they have an abandoned cinema. And the cinema has been right directly across from the shopping center.
Again, we got about two or three.
And we need to bring things back to our community, like skating rings, the coin operated laundromats and the dry cleaners and like you said, the car washes and movie theaters and I mean we have nothing in our communities anymore. They just took it out and brought drugs in.
You're going to be in New Jersey. If you can work your way over to me, I want you to go there because the shopping center is there. The cinema are both abandoned. The cinema is abandoned across the street. And next door to it, literally next door, is the skating rink. And it stays busy.
Let me just
Like
I said, the bill of black belt, we can go wherever we want to go. But if we're not going there with money, we're going there different years. So again,
but I was trying to tell you, you don't even have to have money for some of these buildings.
But we have
to have a procurement license to pick it up.
As far as procurements, if we can get procurements, fine and well. But I do know as a buyer, I can go in and buy instantly. Just like that.
Exactly.
So again, when we see opportunities that we know are opportunities because it's in the black communities, and yes, I've seen situations where right here in Washington, D.C., where you had old shopping centers in the black communities, you could have bought those shopping centers for as low as $300,000 or less because, again, they were just more or less just abandoned and just sitting over there in the black communities and what they call a ghetto. So again, but see, there's no such thing as a ghetto to us. It's our communities, and that community needs to be developed. And the way you develop it is you put businesses in there. So brothers and sisters.
I'm an English teacher, and so you know, people have misused that word ghetto. You can have a millionaire ghetto. A ghetto people of the same ethnicity live in that community. So you can have $1 million homes, and it's a Jewish ghetto. It is an Italian ghetto. It is a black ghetto. A ghetto simply means people of the same ethnicity make up that neighborhood. And yet they have made it look like it means a slum or rundown. That's not true. And being an English teacher, I let my kids know don't use the word in here unless you know the definition of that word ghetto.
Exactly.
You can be a multi-billionaire and be in a ghetto.
But like I said, before we close and for all
you're correct, though. We need to have money so that we can actually go in and invest and buy. That's what the Caucasian people is doing, even if we do consortiums.
So again, I am willing to visit Black Belt. The Black Belt is willing to visit anywhere, but if we come, and if you come with us, come with monies, even if we don't buy, we all will be in a position to buy, but always have monies when you're talking about business. So brothers and sisters,
business without money to me.
Again, brothers and sisters, we're getting ready to close for this session, but please stay. Let's stay together. Let's keep on using this a way of communicating. Because tonight we had about six or seven different states on with us, And so let's use this information, and like I said, let's buy a business. I don't care where it is. And wherever we go, let's go there ready to buy a business. Until next week, this is the Black Belt a Wall Street presented by the New Africa Business Association, Brother Bynum and Brother Aziz, and now our new director, Miss Woods. We'll see you next week.
Peace and blessings.
All right, peace to everybody.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you loved your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brother? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brother?